For everyone who loves books, this is Read On, the audiobook show on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to Read On, the audiobook show from RNIB Talking Books. I'm your host, Robert Kirkwood, and coming up this week, we'll have a listen to all of the free books you can get for World Book Day from RNIB Talking Books in either audio or braille. All that and much more on today's Read On. But first on today's show, last week we heard from Catherine Simpson, who said this. Do you think we've all got an extraordinary story to tell?
I absolutely do. I do teach memoir. I do one-off workshops and I also do week-long courses and all sorts. I know from talking to the people who've come on the course that people have extraordinary stories to tell. There's a quote that I was looking at yesterday. It's something like, there are no insignificant lives, just inadequate ways of telling them. And this is the thing about memoir. You've got to get down to the detail. You've got to have the right detail in it. If you have the right detail and you can really conjure up a time and a place, it will be a fascinating story because there's only you that's lived your life. Nobody else has lived it. Nobody else has lived the exact time and place in life that you have. And only you can tell that story in all its authentic detail.
Good advice, but if you're blind or partially sighted, what are the practicalities of using technology to write? Well, our friends at Tech Talk have the answer.
Now, it's often said that for many of us, we have a book inside us waiting to get out, and maybe in some cases that book should just stay right where it is. But somebody who has put virtual pen to paper is blind author Amy Turnbull. And Amy joins us now to talk about her novel and the process and some of the technology that was used in its creation. Welcome to Tech Talk, Amy. Fantastic to have you with us. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. Have you always wanted to be an author?
No, not really. I read a lot and I don't really think I wanted to be an author until I was midway writing the book, really. I didn't start writing with the intention of publishing. I wrote just because I enjoyed writing. And it was more friends' feedback that's made me kind of carry on and finish it.
Right, because I've heard you sort of thinking out loud on social media for what feels like a number of
forever.
Years. Yeah, about, oh, I'm going to write this book. And eventually you did it. And we'll talk about that process in a bit. So it was just you had a story that you wanted to tell. That was the thing that drove it, I guess.
Yeah, no, what actually drove it was I started writing. I used to write when I was at school. I used to write little stories. But anyway, I hadn't done it for years, so probably since I've left university. And I started writing in 2015 for no real reason. And I took the first opening scene for some unbeknown reason to a uni gathering and read it to my friends. And the reception was like, it's really good. You need to carry on. We want to know what happens. And it was very much a very small group of people that made me go, actually, I probably could do this.
So it was the friends that gave you the confidence to carry on.
Yeah, definitely. And once I decided that, then I was like, actually, I am going to finish it and I am going to publish it.
Right. And do you read a lot as well? A lot of writers tend to read.
Yeah, I love reading. I've always loved reading. And predominantly, I prefer reading hard copies of Braille, which I think I'm in the minority of. And I listen to audio, but my preference is always Braille.
Because?
I think I prefer it because I visualise things better when it's just me reading it rather than a voice. And I prefer reading hard copies of Braille rather than reading on a Braille display just because I find it quicker. That's not to say that I don't read books, Kindle books on a Braille display, because I do, but my preference, if I could have like the entirety of all of the books in my house were Braille, that would be great, but it takes up a bit too much space.
Yeah, and I often trot out this line about, you know, you find your own voice rather than the filter of somebody else's voice. Do you find that when you're reading it, you feel a stronger connection with the content?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't used to listen to audiobooks, really. I really didn't enjoy audiobooks until, I don't know, I probably was in my 30s. I was quite late to joining Audible. I generally just preferred reading. I have kind of changed my mindset on that. I think audiobooks definitely have a place. But yeah, reading, a lot of my life was spent in Braille books.
So tell us a bit about how you write then. What's your process then? What tools do you use?
So I started writing, the whole of the books was written on my iPhone using a Bluetooth keyboard. And the reason why I started doing it that way was I used to travel a fair bit on trains, and I just wanted to write as I was traveling and not have to have a laptop with me. And also I get slightly concerned about what people can see on screen. So I just used to turn my screen curtain off and write. And it's, you know, it's easy to have a phone. So the whole of the book was written on my phone.
And did you use any particular apps for that? Did you have any software that you leaned into?
I used it's called Writer. Is it Voice Stream Writer?
Okay. It's a specialist app designed for blind and partially sighted people. So it's pretty accessible.
Voice Stream,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, Voice Stream Writer. So they've got Voice Stream Reader, I think is probably the better known app. And then they've also got this Writer app. And had you tried a few at that point, or was it just the first one?
So I'd originally started writing it in Notes. Then I moved to Writer for no real reason, just that someone had recommended it and quite liked it, found it easy to edit it. I didn't have OneDrive at that moment in time, so I just used the Writer app. And then once I'd finished writing it all, I then used my laptop to proofread. And at that point, because there were loads of typos in it, just because I was just using a Bluetooth keyboard and doing it quickly and not really concentrating, so then I went to my laptop and used Word and used a Braille display at that point to do the proofreading, just a kind of initial high level proofread.
Right, so the whole thing with the phone and the Bluetooth keyboard, that was just to get the story down, get the idea out, and that was your sort of first draft. And, you know, we sometimes hear about sighted authors writing in longhand in exercise books and that kind of thing. I guess that was your equivalent then.
Yeah, and it was the whole story. So, like, I have, like, all different chapters are all in files and stuff on my iPhone. So once I've got to where I needed to get to with a chapter, I would move it over. I think I lost a couple of chapters, which is why I then invested in OneDrive and saved everything to the cloud, because I did manage to wipe a few things that I shouldn't have done. So then I moved to doing kind of a very light proofread using Braille display. But the way that I properly proofread and got kind of an idea of speed and length of my book was to emboss it all into Braille.
Wow. So you've got an embosser at home then?
I had an embosser in the office at work, and had to kind of ask someone, can I print off my book? And they said yes. I have an embosser now at home. So
Braille embossers are notoriously bulky and loud, and I imagine if you're embossing out an entire novel, that's got to have taken a while.
Yeah, I did it in chapters, and generally kind of after most people had gone home. But yeah, I would do it kind of as I was writing, and I found the proofreading process again a lot easier to have the actual physical Braille copy and then the laptop, and I would change things and do it that way.
Okay, so there was those sort of three distinct stages then, really, the Bluetooth keyboard and the Voice Stream Writer on the phone, keeping each chapter in a separate file, and then your sort of bit on the laptop with the Braille display. But then the real proof reading, I guess, the real heavy lifting. And how long did this all take then? Is it a long book? I've not read it, I have to confess, Amy, and I'm hoping by the end of this chat you'll have persuaded me that I need to.
So the book is 115,000 words. It took me 2 years to write the book, and then I've never been very good at editing or looking over my own work. Like, I was the person in exams who would write what they needed to write and then leave, because I just have never been very good at going back over things that I've written myself. I can look at other people's stuff, but just my own stuff I struggle with. So I took a bit of time out completely away from it, and then life took over and had like personal stuff to deal with. So writing a romance wasn't kind of conducive with personal situation. But then when I went back to it, it wasn't, a lot of the content didn't need changing. It was just really tedious typos. And from the main first draft to the actual final book, there are a couple of things that have been taken out, but generally speaking, most of it stayed.
So give us a bit of a synopsis then, Amy. You mentioned there that it's a romance. Can you tell us about the main sort of protagonists and sort of set it up for us?
So it is a romance. There are some explicit scenes in it, but I would say that it has a story and it's very much about two characters falling for each other. It's first person, so it's told by Rosie Fielding, who is a recruitment officer. She's 35 and she has recently become single from a very long-term relationship, and she meets and falls very quickly in love with an American man called Ethan Harper, who she works with, and he is the boss at the company that she works for. She meets him at a summer party and he has come in to kind of take over.
Okay. And did you have to do any research? Did this come all out of your own head, or did you go anywhere? Did you have to make notes or record interviews with anybody or anything like that?
I did research. So on cars, I did a bit of research with friends because I don't know very much about cars. So I kind of needed to look into that. And I have a couple of chapters in New York, which I've never been to, sadly, and definitely want to go to. So I did quite a research on New York and spoke to people who had been to New York just to try and get a feel for a city that I have never experienced, but I needed to write about.
And in terms of the sort of the tools for those interviews, would you record the interview or were you making notes? How did that work?
Generally, I'd write notes or I would ask a question on Facebook and see what people came back with. Social media did help, actually. There were times I'd even go onto Facebook or Twitter and ask a question. But yeah, I didn't generally make notes. I used to ask online. Oh, another part of the book, actually, that's probably worth saying is that there were two people that read my book as I was writing it. One of them was my friend Vicky, who I read it to her chapter by chapter over the phone. So she heard the whole thing. I read it to her. And also to Ruth as well over the phone. They, for some reason, they wanted me to read it to them. But when I'd finished it, I sent the book to Ruth for her to proofread and to beautify, because my formatting is terrible. And, you know, half of it was in one font and then another font because I've written it in different places. The Bluetooth keyboard speech marks was somehow different, very slightly different to my laptop's speech marks in the way that it looked. So I couldn't tell, but they looked slightly different. So she had a very, very tedious job of making sure that they were consistent. So yeah, my friend proofread it for me. And I also needed to get a cover as well, a book cover. And I asked someone that I used to work with, who used to do the website design at the place that I used to work, and he designed it. I had a rough idea of what I wanted, and he brought that to life.
I mean, were you just completely happy to hand off things like formatting and the cover to somebody else to kind of look at the design? You were more about the words for you, or did you have long meetings about how it was going to look aesthetically?
So the font and things like that, I wasn't that bothered about. The cover, I had a rough idea of what I wanted the cover to look like. And I explained it to Steve and said, this is kind of, but I think I was very vague at the beginning of like what I wanted it to look like. And then I had a couple of people that had read the book. So when he designed the cover, he sent me the first draft and I sent it to them and said, what do you think? And they were like, oh, I don't like it. And I was like, okay, but what don't you like about it? Because you've got to tell me so I can decide whether I like it. It just was, I think the colouring was off and the font was too small. And so then I had to go back to him and say, actually, had some feedback, can you make it? And he was really, really good. And then when he sent me the second draft over, he was very descriptive about the colours and the font used. And I felt that it kind of made more sense with the book that it was having a cover for. Everyone was like, yeah, that's much better. Like, but the actual book itself, how it looked, I wasn't so worried about.
Okay.
I just trusted people.
Right. So then we come to getting it to other people. Clearly you wanted to make it available, not just that sort of offer around a Word document. You actually wanted to get it sort of available somewhere where people can go and discover it.
Yep. So I'd looked into publishing. Once I decided that I wanted to actually make it into a book properly, because it took so long and I had some time out and once I'd got to the end, I just got to the stage where I just wanted it out there. So I'd done a bit of research about publishers, but I just wasn't in the right mind that I wanted to look for an agent or I wanted to write to publishers. I just wanted it out there. So I chose to self-publish through Amazon because it's very, very simple. And also Amazon do sell like the majority of books.
So you self-published on Amazon, and did you do that yourself? Is that something you needed help with?
I did get a friend to upload it all. Whether I could have done it myself, I don't know. I think I would have always wanted that visual kind of assistance just to make sure that it looked okay. But yeah, my friend Layla put it all online for me. And then I remember she was like, okay, it's live now, because I have a Kindle version and a paperback version. So like then I downloaded the Kindle version just to, you know, check it through before I told anyone, that because I had like visions of chapters being missing and I'd tell everyone it was published and then there'd be something wrong. So I made sure that I read it first before I said it was available.
Right. So when you self-publish on Amazon, it appears on Kindle pretty quickly then. Yep. And you can order the paperback, or is it in hardback at all? Or
no, I decided not to put it in hardback. I just think the type of book that it is, it's more of a kind of, you know, pick it up in the airport type book. It's not, I think probably paperback feels the right format, I think. I also decided eventually that I would do an audio version as well.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Now explain about that. So how did you approach the audio version?
I used ACX, which is Amazon's audio kind of self-publishing offering, and you can put a little audition up there, a little audition script, and people can come and audition. And I was very impatient, so I put a little bit up, and I got my narrator Rebecca McKernan auditioned. I did at one point consider whether I could read it myself, and I decided that I couldn't do an American male's voice well enough. It's so difficult. So I decided the right thing to do was to get someone else to read it. And so I published in July. I decided that I was going to get the audio, because originally I thought it would cost quite a lot, but it didn't cost as much as I thought. So I then had Rebecca started working on it in September, and it was available on Audible in December.
So the book, now tell us the title so everyone can go and have a...
Yay. The book is called More, with an exclamation at the end. And yeah, I had my 100th sale on Sunday, which I was very excited about. So,
well, that is exciting. And have you done any publicity other than, you know, sort of social media?
No, just social media. So I have a Twitter account, which is an author Twitter account, which is Turnbull Amy.
Amy with an I, we should say.
It is Amy with an I, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have been using that to kind of promote it.
So what have you learned, you know, thinking about the sort of the tools and the technology that you use to bring your novel to Amazon? What do you think you've sort of learned from this process? If you were writing another one, what would you do differently?
I think I would still write it on my phone, but I obviously now know that the speech marks look slightly different, so I would change that as I go along rather than doing it right at the end, because it was very tedious. I think I would still use exactly the same tools that I did last time, and yeah, I think I would pretty much do it all the same. I definitely prefer writing more than I do like editing it, so yeah.
I guess if you're rich and famous, you can have an editor who'll take all that pain away. So are you planning any more?
I am writing another one at the moment. I've begun to write it, so yeah, but completely separate story. But yeah, I just enjoy writing. It's a bit of space to just think something else that is not real, and I find it quite kind of cathartic. So,
well, congratulations, Amy Turnbull. More is available from Amazon, and if you want audio, you can find that on Audible. Brilliant stuff. Well, we look forward to future books, Amy, from you, and hearing more about your process. And have you got a website, or is there a place where people can kind of follow along for any news or updates?
No, just Twitter. which I, you know, I always thought that Twitter was quite a romantic kind of sending tweets out into the void. So, yeah, Twitter is my place.
And remind us again, you on Twitter, you are.
So I'm Turnbull Amy, TurnbullAmi.
Excellent. Well, Amy Turnbull, once again, thanks for joining us here on Tech Talk.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks to Amy and the Tech Talk team. More by Amy Turnbull is narrated by Rebecca McKernan.
It's a beautiful summer's evening, perfect barbecue weather. A gentle breeze is now in the air, which is a relief from the earlier heat of the day. The late August sunshine is still shining brightly, and the birds are singing in the trees as I walk past the park. As the warm breeze brushes over my skin, I realise I have forgotten my cardigan at home, and hope that the temperature doesn't fall too much later this evening. There is no way I am turning back to go and get it. Just the thought of seeing Tristan again makes me shudder inwardly. What was that all about, I wonder, as I cross the road and start heading down the main street? I haven't seen him in about 10 weeks, and then, out of the blue, he rings to ask if he can come and look for a DVD he apparently forgot when he left me. I hadn't doubted him, but now I'm not so sure there was a film to find after all. I touch my ring finger again. I miss the delicate diamond ring that has been there for 3 years, but I don't miss him, not now.
Rebecca McKernan, reading Amy Turnbull's More. Available wherever you buy your books or audiobooks.
If you have a question about living with sight loss, no matter how big or small, the RNIB helpline is here to offer support. Whether it's connecting to your Wi-Fi or connecting to your community. From remote banking to TV remotes. Call us on 0303 123 9999 or say, Alexa, call RNIB helpline for more information. RNIB, see differently.
This is an RNIB talking book.
Reading or listening to a great book is an important part of life, whether it's for education, to give you a laugh, or to just get lost in an adventure. Well, RNIB's Reading Services online library is here for you. Listen to a book on your phone or tablet, or just tell your Amazon smart speaker to play your latest talking books.
To search for a book, say find followed by the title.
Or if you prefer Braille, download a book and read on an electronic Braille display, such as the Orbit Reader. Search for RNIB Reading Services online or call the RNIB helpline and tell them that you're interested in the reading services or any of the other great RNIB services we offer. The helpline number is 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999.
You're listening to Read On, the audiobook show from RNIB Talking Books. Now, before we hear about all of the books you can get for World Book Day this year for free from RNIB in both audio and braille, let's listen back to a chat with a former World Book Day book author, Lauren Ellen Anderson.
Birth night bums!
Amelia Fang woke with a start. Her pet pumpkin Squashy rolled off the bed, landing with a padoing. It can't be night time already, surely, said Amelia, pulling the blanket over her head.
Sounds like the celebrations have started, said Florence Spudwick with a stretch.
Grimaldi Reaperton yelped and hid underneath his bed covers. It was the winter holidays in the Kingdom of the Dark, which meant 6 whole weeks off school. Young vampire Amelia Fang and her 3 best friends were spending the first weekend of their holidays at the Yeti Mountain Pits. The pits were home to all the ancient retired Yetis in the kingdom, each living in their own cozy pit connected by a network of candlelit tunnels. Florence's grand Yeti, Clements, was turning 350 years old, and the ancient Yetis were having a party all weekend to celebrate.
That's Zoe Thorne, reading from Amelia Fang and the Lost Yeti Treasures by Laura Ellen Anderson, who joins me now. Now, Laura, tell us about Amelia Fang.
Amelia Fang. So she is a brave and determined vampire, and she goes on lots of adventures with her best friends Florence and Grimaldi, and also Prince Tangine Lefluful the First, future king of Nocturnia. Over the course of the five books, their friendship has really grown and developed, and the books really look at kind of, you know, the bond that they have, and looking at tolerance and acceptance in their world. And they just meet lots of weird and wonderful creatures, and each book sees a new location in the world and takes them on many strange avenues, really.
Why do you think kids love spooky things so much?
I think it's the thrill of the scare. We all like to be scared a little bit. I know I'm not very good with very scary books or movies. I thought The Witches was pretty scary. The Witches by Roald Dahl, I must add, and illustrated beautifully by Quentin Blake. But I think it's a bit like going on a roller coaster. You know it's going to be scary, but it's that excitement and that kind of adrenaline rush you get. And then getting to the end of the book is almost like facing your fear and then kind of sharing that excitement and the kind of scary thrill with your friends. I think kids like that. And whenever I go to events and I ask kids if they like to read books that are a bit scary, pretty much 90% of the audience will put their hands up.
Now, everything seems to have a touch of gothic. So what or who has inspired you?
I adore the work of creator and director Tim Burton. I love his stop motion animations, especially The Nightmare Before Christmas and Corpse Bride, and highly influenced by film and animation. So films such as Casper the Friendly Ghost and The Addams Family have really resonated with me through the years. So I just love the character development and the world, and there's just something really warming, and it's, they're not too scary. They're very gentle movies as such. But I just love the atmosphere around anything Halloween-y and slightly spooky, and the kind of mischievous, creepy characters that you get in those kinds of animations and films.
Nocturnia certainly has that sort of feel, but it's the opposite of cute because glitter there is terrifying.
Yes. So the creatures, I like to describe them as being just like any one of us, just a bit hairier with a few more spiky teeth. And I like to turn the kind of traditional elements on their heads. So the vampires, they do have reflections, and they don't drink blood. They're just like you or I. They have their own personal problems and challenges to work through in everyday life, but it's just put in a bit more of a weird and wonderful twist on those characters to make it more interesting. So hopefully the reader can relate to some of the things Amelia and her friends are going through and kind of empathise with the characters, but see it from a slightly different, it's different way to make it a bit more relatable as well. But yeah, Nocturnia is not meant to be scary, and they are terrified of glitter and they are terrified of the creatures of the light, although we see progression in that throughout the books from 1 to 3 in particular.
Now, talking of which, what do unicorn farts smell like?
I'd say they smell like a mixture of magnificence and I'd say glitter. Glitter, magnificence and everything that's wonderful in the world.
And there's also World Book Day. Do you ever get kids dressing up as Amelia?
I do. It's so lovely. It's quite nice because we have World Book Day at the beginning of the year, and I've had some fabulous photos sent to me of various kids dressed up as Amelia Fang and other characters. One of the funniest was a mother sending a picture of her Florence costume, which she ended up using the mask, the head of Florence, as a car seat cover in the end. And and then you have Halloween, where they can kind of revisit the character, and you know, the fact that Amelia Fang is going to be a World Book Day book is just really, really good news, because you know, it's an opportunity for more kids to discover the world and perhaps dress up if they fancy it.
Now, we know most of the Amelia Fang books are in audio. Did you have a hand in picking Zoe Thorne as the narrator?
I did. So I had a few options, and I really loved Zoe Thorne's take on... so I was actually, when I listened to her first sample, it was of her reading another book, but her voice was so expressive, and she does such an amazing job of the characters. I love the way she approaches the character's dialogue, especially Grimaldi's voice. And it's really nice to hear someone else reading the characters in their own special way. But I think the audiobooks are so brilliantly done, and Zoe Thorne was such an amazing choice. I'm so glad that she's doing the books and is signed up to do Yeti Treasures and the next book too.
Did you not think about doing it yourself?
I don't think... I think someone else could do it much better than me. I trip over my words way too much. I like to write and illustrate and then let someone else bring the characters to life. I think there's a real joy in that and seeing their kind of twist on the characters too.
So the latest book, The Lost Yeti Treasures, tell us about that one.
So Amelia and her friends, Florence, Grimaldi and Tangine, they're off to the Yeti Mountain Pits to celebrate Florence's grand Yeti Clemence's 350th birth night party. But whilst they're there over the course of the weekend, the ancient Yetis who live there, a lot of their precious belongings start to go missing. And then the actual mountains themselves start to crumble. And so the Yetis are at risk of losing their home forever. So Amelia and her friends take it upon themselves to find out what's going on, get to the bottom of it, and quite literally in the pits, and find out who or what is behind all of these strange goings on. So it's there's a bit of mild peril, lots of adventure, and some brand new characters that we meet at the end.
So do you listen to audiobooks yourself?
I do. I listened to the new Philip Pullman book on audiobook by the lovely Michael Sheen, who was fantastic. And I've listened to, Terry Pratchett's Tiffany Aitken book I listened to, or the audio version. And yeah, I think it's great, especially if I'm doing a lot of colour work in my illustrations. I like to put on the audiobooks in the background to listen to whilst doing that, or whilst I'm walking as well. It's lovely. It's almost like someone's keeping you company.
And having the books in audio makes them accessible to people who couldn't access the print books. Is that important to you?
Absolutely. I think the more accessible books are to everyone, the better. And to know that everyone can enjoy the books that I'm writing and listen to the wonderful talents of Zoe Thorne as well, I think it's fantastic.
Now, if someone listening wants to find out more, where can they go?
So they can go onto my website, www.lauraellenanderson.co.uk, and there you can find out more about the books and links to my social media where I babble on about the books and events that are going on. There's an events page where you can keep up to date with where I'll be lurking around signing books with my little Squashy the Pumpkin stamp as well. And I love meeting fans of the books and talking to people, and people can ask questions, and you can also, I've got a fan email as well, and I love snail mail. Always reply to snail mail, because there's something really special about receiving a physical piece of post.
Fantastic. Laura Ellen Anderson, thanks so much for joining me on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
Amelia and her friends were so excited to have a big sleepover together. This meant late day chats, tragic stories by candlelight, and lots of silliness. The door to the pit where Amelia, Florence and Grimaldi were staying burst open. An old Yeti bellowed, "Time for birth night, bums!" before running away.
"Florence, why does everyone keep shouting birth night, bums?"
squeaked Grimaldi from under the covers. The little Grim Reaper was easily alarmed.
"Bumping bums is a common Yeti greeting, like shaking hands," said Florence as she lit the candles on the walls of the pit. "It's tradition to bump bottoms with the birthday Yeti the same number of times as their age."
"Wait, isn't your Grand Yeti 350 years old?" said Amelia. "That means..."
"Yup. 350 bum bumps," said Florence.
Thanks again to Lauren Ellen Anderson. There are 7 books in the Amelia Fang series now, a few of which are available in audio and braille from RNIB Talking Books. There's also Amelia's new series, Rainbow Grey. There are 3 books available commercially. The first 2 are available from RNIB in both audio and braille.
RNIB Talking Books provides more than 1 million audiobooks every year to people with sight loss and is now completely free for all blind and partially sighted people in the UK. The RNIB Library is the largest of its kind in Europe and offers a wide range of fiction and non-fiction titles which readers can access on CD, on USB or as a digital download so that you can listen how you choose, whether at home or on the go. To find out more about the RNIB Library or to sign up for your free membership, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or visit rnib.org.uk/library.
And finally on today's show, here's the epic list of books available for free from RNIB for World Book Day.
Sunshine Smoothie serves two small bears.
Spidey uses his web shooters to swing above the city. His feet and hands can also stick to most surfaces, which makes wall crawling easy too.
First, let's meet the amazing Goliath bird-eating spider, the biggest spider in the world.
His eyes shone with warmth and intelligence. He was also in possession of the most magnificent wings you've ever seen.
World Book Day is all about celebrating the magic of books and reading. RNIB is proud to support its mission to give every child and young person a book of their own, making all the titles available in audio and braille. Here are three books for preschool readers. First up, Billy's Bravery by Tom Percival.
Billy absolutely loved Nature Girl. She was the bravest superhero of all. He had read the books, watched the cartoons, and he'd even made a Nature Girl costume. So, on World Book Day, Billy knew exactly who he wanted to dress up as.
Hello, I'm Tom Percival, and I want to tell you about Billy's Bravery. It's all about a boy called Billy and how hard he finds it to take new risks until a surprising friend helps him to discover his own bravery. Ultimately, it explores how being brave isn't the same thing as not being scared.
Next, Bedtime for the Burpee Bears by Joe Wicks.
It's the end of the day for the Burpee Bears. Are we ready? Are we steady? It's time for bed and a story. Hurrah, say Bella and Frankie. But Baby Bear is looking for something. Oops! Frankie's put his pyjamas on back to front. Try again, says Mummy Bear. You can do it.
Hello, everybody. It's Joe Wicks here, author of The Burpee Bears, which I love. I'm so proud of this story, and I'm also really excited and so happy to say that I've written a £1 book, especially for World Book Day 2023. It's called Bedtime for the Burpee Bears. It's a lovely little short story about my wonderful family of bears getting ready for bed. I hope you love it. I really hope you get to read this book with your family. You're going to really enjoy the story and have a lovely, lovely day.
And some life-size creepy crawlies by Sophie Hen.
The incredible Goliath beetles, with their colourful bodies and black and white striped heads, are one of the largest type of beetle. They are also super strong. In fact, they can lift up to 850 times their own weight. That would be like you lifting four elephants at once.
Hello everyone, my name is Sophie Hen and I am an author and an illustrator and super excited that Life-Size Creepy Crawlies will be one of the £1 books for World Book Day 2023. And the great thing about Life-Size Creepy Crawlies is all the creatures in it will be life-size, and I have had an amazing time learning about these incredible creatures and I cannot wait to share it all with you. Bye!
Let's look at three books for early readers. First up, You Choose Your Adventure by Pippa Goodhart and Nick Sharrett.
Your adventure starts here. What will you choose to wear?
I'll pick the space clothes so I can zoom off anywhere.
I like the big frilly spotty dress the best.
Let's get the adventure started. Quick, hurry and get dressed.
Next, can you choose a place to go?
I'll explore a mountain covered in snow.
I'll dive to a shipwreck and find treasure from the past.
Uh-oh, there's a shark. I hope you can swim fast.
I'm Pippa Goodheart.
And I'm Nick Sharrett.
And our £1 book for World Book Day 2023 is...
You Choose Your Adventure.
Where would you go?
What would you wear?
Who would you meet?
What would you eat? You choose.
Our next book for early readers is Dave Pigeon, Bookshop Mayhem, by Swapna Haddle.
How about a pigeon-tastic adventure involving a grey slipper? A slipper? I asked. Slippers can be very interesting once you get to know them, Dave replied. So, what happens with this slipper? I said as I tapped on the keys of our typewriter. I can't come up with everything myself, Dave huffed, throwing his head back in frustration. I looked at the balled-up scraps of paper littering our shed floor. Writing a brand new story was impossible. We'd given up on the story about the time we saw a cloud that looked a bit like Dave's granny's bottom. We'd ditched the story about the time we thought we were being chased by a lion that turned out to be a tree. And now there was Dave's slipper story. That story could have been an award-winning masterpiece. Nobody wants to read a story about a slipper. I do.
Hi everyone, I'm Swapna Haddo and I am a children's author. I'm here to tell you all about my £1 World Book Day book for 2023, which is Dave Pigeon's Bookshop Mayhem. Now, it's all about Dave Pigeon and his best pal Skipper, who have annoyingly run out of ideas for stories, so they head to a bookshop for inspiration. Now, if you follow the Dave Pigeon series, you'll know there'll be a lot of pigeon chaos, probably some biscuits and lots of funny bits. And that's true about this story too. The whole story revolves around friendship and lots of funny pigeon nonsense.
And our final book for early readers, Marvel's Spider-Man, The Amazing Pocket Guide.
Become an expert on all things Spider-Man with this bite-sized pocket guide. Discover everything you ever needed to know about the Spider-Verse. Is Spider-Man speedier than Spider-Ham? Who is a better fighter, Venom or Vulture? Pick up this guide and you'll have all these Spidey facts and more at your fingertips. This is a World Book Day 2023 title. Spider-Man. Hero. Rating. Fighting skills. 4 out of 7. Speed. 3 out of 7. Strength. 4 out of 7. At first, Peter used his powers to find fame as a wrestler, but he soon realized that was not who he wanted to be. Now, whenever his spider sense tells him that someone is in trouble, he'll do whatever he can to help.
Hello, I'm Catherine Saunders, author of Spider-Man Pocket Guide. This little book has everything you need to know about Spidey. His amazing powers, his best friends, his worst enemies, and skill ratings for each character so you can find out who's the toughest and who's the fastest. I wonder who your favourite character will be. It's hard to choose. Mine is Spider-Ham, a pig with spider superpowers. You'll find him on page 52.
Here are four books for fluent readers. First up, Lenny Henry's The Boy with Wings.
Nev Carter was Tunde's best buddy. They'd fought side by side together, played football together. The only thing they couldn't do together was grow hair at the same rate. Nev's dreadlocks were almost down to his shoulders. He grabbed Tunde by the shoulders.
Oi, misery goods. We need to get the Super Megalicious playlist on the sound system. This part is as dry as my back foot, cuz.
Tunde cracked a smile. Nev had an unusual vocabulary, and he liked to use it on every occasion.
Nev, it's not a dancing party. It's more an eat cake, drink fizzy pop, slurp jelly and then throw up kind of party. Neff pulled a face. Nobody better throw up on my new kicks, bruv. Or it'll be like battle stations, innit?
Hi, it's Lenny Henry here. Do you want to know more about Tunde, the boy with wings? Well, he's going to be in a World Book Day book. It's called The Boy with Wings, Attack of the Rampaging Robot. If you like action, adventure, jokes, and robots, then you have to get your hands on The Boy with Wings, Attack of the Rampaging Robot. Illustrated by Keenan Farrell. Look out for it on World Book Day.
Our next book for fluent readers is Katie and Kevin Zhang's A Dragon Realm Adventure.
Billy Chan soared through the sky on the back of his dragon. Riding Spark, his heart-bonded dragon, was endlessly thrilling. He'd never forget the first time they'd flown together, and he'd never take for granted how effortless it was now. Once upon a time, dragons had just been a fantasy to him, and even after he'd discovered Dragon Mountain and met Spark, he'd never imagined flying in broad daylight in the human realm. Until very recently, few people had known that dragons even existed, let alone that they had their own separate realm. But now they were here, in the same world as humans. Billy had seen a lot of dragons, but he was certain Spark was the most majestic of them all. She had shimmery blue scales flecked with gold, and sharp gold antlers that twisted back from her diamond-shaped head. She had a long neck, almost like a swan, that curved into her powerful seahorse-like body. An electric blue mane ran from her head all along her spine to the end of her tail, and she had huge, almost translucent wings to keep her airborne.
Katie Tsang.
And I'm Kevin Tsang.
And we are the authors of the Dragon Realm series. And we are so excited to have a 1 pound book out for World Book Day 2023.
And it's called A Dragon Realm Adventure.
A Dragon Realm Adventure is the perfect introduction to the series if you've not yet read it. And if you have already met our dragons, you're going to love it because you're going to be reunited with Billy and Spark and some of the rest of the gang as they go on an epic, exciting quest.
Happy World Book Day.
Our next book is L.D. Lipinski's The Strange World's Travel Agency, Adventures in the Floating Mountains.
In the village of Little Wyverns, it was said that the most exciting day of the year was the Maypole Festival. An uncharacteristically warm weekend had come with it on this particular year. The sun lighting up the bunting-decorated marketplace and melting ice creams faster than anyone could eat them. The maypole itself, a 5-metre-tall, blue, red and white striped stick, had been planted in the middle of the park, like a weird alien tree. Flick Hudson and her family were meandering through the crowds in the marketplace, browsing the stalls that had been put up for the festival. There were homemade soaps that smelled of goat, homemade cardigans that felt like goat, and homemade cakes that looked like something a goat might have left behind. A sound system was letting out the occasional fuzz of static that might have been music if it was working properly. Wasps were feasting in the bins, buzzing louder than the speakers. Flick concentrated on her ice cream, determined to eat it before it ended up down her sleeve. Her little brother Freddy was in his pushchair, wiping his own melting cone all over his face like it was sunscreen. It was the first time the Hudson family had been to the Maypole Festival, and although it seemed a bit boring to Flick, some of the older Little Wyverns locals looked as though they were about to explode with excitement.
Hi, I'm L.D. Lipinski, and I'm super excited to tell you all about the Strange World Travel Agency Adventure in the Floating Mountains, my 1 pound book for World Book Day. At the Strange World Travel Agency, every suitcase can transport you to a different magical world. And this time, Flick and Jonathan are off to the world of Strafardia, a land of wishes, dragons, candy clouds, and one very special festival. But when disaster strikes, it's up to them to save the Cloud Wish Festival and its very special guest.
And our fourth book is so new it's being recorded as I record this. We don't have a clip yet, but Kay's Brilliant Brains by Adam Kay and illustrated by Henry Faker will be available as you hear this. And I think this is Adam and Henry.
Hello, my name's Harry Styles.
And I'm Dua Lipa.
And we're very proud to introduce our new book for World Book Day, which is called...
Kay's Brilliant Brains.
That's right, Dua. And it's about 10 amazing people throughout history, from inventors to explorers to environmentalists. And it's funny, and it's hopefully educational. It's definitely disgusting in places. Do you think they'll like it?
I think they're going to love it. If
they
don't, I think they should just grit their teeth and get through it.
Pretend they liked it. Oh, no, mistake. Sorry, mistake earlier. My name's actually Adam Kay.
Oh, yes, sorry, I'm actually Henry Packer.
Here are the two books for independent readers. First, A.M. Dasso's Boot It.
Come on, I shouted, looking back at Sammy as we raced down the corridor towards the sports hall. Sammy's shoes clobbered the tiles as he came up close behind me, panting.
Ali, wait, have you got your pen? He asked. Mine's in my bag outside the lunch hall. Yeah.
I slowed down to feel around in my blazer pocket. A few spaces had come up on the football team because some year eights had moved school in the Easter holidays. Mr. Clark was talking about refreshing the lineup before the under-13s County Cup coming up in May, so we'd play football at the park every day in the holidays to get ready for the trials. Sammy was so fast at dribbling, it was hard to keep up with him. We'd taken turns to man-mark each other, and were both really good at it now. We'd practiced taking loads of penalties against Mark, our best goalie, hoping we'd all get picked to play for the school. It was finally our time to shine, and I couldn't wait. "Let's go to the park after school again today, yeah?" I said to Sammy, as we approached the notice board outside the sports hall. "I've looked up some more drills to try on YouTube."
"Which ones? I thought we'd covered everything."
"Found some for receiving the ball on the back foot," I said, watching Sammy gawp at the board. We'd run all this way because we thought we'd be the first to write our names down, but there were already two on the list.
Hello, I'm A.M. Dasu, and I want to tell you about Boot It, my £1 book for World Book Day 2023. In it, Sammy and Annie dream of playing for the school football team. They practice in the park every day and work hard on their skills, but they're made to feel they don't belong on the team because of the colour of their skin. Annie just wants to tackle the ball on the pitch. Now he's being forced to tackle the racism in his team too. But can he, when he's told it's just banter? Boot It is an exciting and powerful story of friendship and booting out racism in sport once and for all. I hope it empowers you and you enjoy it.
Also for independent readers is Being an Ally. Real talk about showing up, screwing up and trying again by Shakira Bourne and Dara Alison Levy.
That's so... Oh, wait. You thought I was serious with that title? Yeah, sorry about that. Being a good ally without making mistakes is like eating popcorn without dropping any on the floor. It's possible, but let's be honest, it rarely happens. For instance, let's try this quiz. Question 1. You, an able-bodied person, see someone in a wheelchair moving through a doorway. Should you A. rush to open the door for them? B. leave them alone? C. ask them if they want help. D. it's complicated. Question 2. You, a white person, want to show support for a Black Lives Matter protest, so you A. post on social media. B. attend a protest. C. write a letter to your local paper. D. do nothing. It's performative and you don't want to co-opt spaces for Black voices. E. It's complicated. Question 3. On social media, an old friend you haven't talked to in years posts a cruel meme that disrespects transgender people. Creeping around her other posts, you see a lot of problematic content. Do you A. call her out and put her on blast? B. unfriend her? C. write a long, passionate DM about why her stuff is a mess? D. it's complicated. You guessed it. being an ally is complicated.
Hello, I am Shakira Bourne.
And I'm Dana Allison Levy.
And we want to tell you about Being an Ally,
our one-pound book for World Book Day 2023.
In this collection of true stories, YA authors get real about needing an ally, being an ally, and showing up for friends and strangers.
This book is about using what power you have, no matter how big or how small, to be an ally. It's not about being perfect, but about trying and screwing up and learning and trying again.
This book is for everyone because we all can be allies.
Hello everyone, my name is Natalie Evans and I'm one of the contributors to Being an Ally. Being an Ally has been chosen for the £1 book for World Book Day 2023 and I am so excited. Being an Ally is all about how you can be an ally and where to start. My chapter is called Why Didn't Anyone Else Say Anything and it's about standing up for injustice.
Also available, but in Ireland only, is One Stormy Night, a Hazeltree Farm book by Alma Jordan. And in Irish is Rita Agus an Dragan by Mary Zeff. And finally, for little ones in Wales, is Gwisg Fancy Cow by Annie Lynn. Apologies to any Welsh or Irish speakers. Blind and partially sighted children, and any children unable to read standard print due to a print impairment, are able to choose one free audio or braille book from the World Book Day list of 13 titles. Just call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or email helpline@rnib.org.uk to get your free book. We've got time for on today's show, but remember this show is also available as a podcast. There are over 300 episodes in your favourite podcast app. Just search for RNIB Read On. I'll be back at the same time next week, but remember our daily show, Talking Books, featuring the best the RNIB library has to offer, that we're allowed to play on here. That's every day at 7 a.m. with a different tale at 2 p.m. or 10 p.m. if you prefer a book at bedtime. The whole schedule is at rnibconnectradio.org.uk.